Good morning. Very nice that the rain this morning. Thank you for your efforts and earnest practice so far. It's good to see the Buddha Hall so full, so many people all together. And it feels like Sesshin and like Rohatsu Sesshin. Thought I might bring up a few words, talking points from a fascicle of Master Dogen's. Bendowa, or on the endeavor of the way, as it's translated here, endeavor. I think that all of us that practice Zen, come to Sesshin, can understand that it is something of an endeavor. Practice has that quality. For me, that's really a living koan, is the endeavor of the way, or how to apply effort in this refinement, this life. And Master Dogen, of course, a great master in our tradition, and we look at a few of these fascicles over and over. Of course, any one of them you could pick it up and look at, and it's enough for a lifetime. Really, a paragraph is enough to really look at. So, with that said, I'll bring up the first paragraph. He says, all Buddha Tathagatas who directly transmit inconceivable Dharma and actualize supreme perfect enlightenment have a wondrous way, unsurpassed and unconditioned. Only Buddhas transmit it to Buddhas without veering off. Self-fulfilling samadhi is its standard. Sitting upright, practicing Zen, is the authentic gate to the unconfined realm of this samadhi. All Buddha Tathagatas. In the first talk a few days ago, Yugen really acknowledging that it is Rohatsu Sesshin, marks for Buddha's enlightenment, brought up some of the history of Shakyamuni Buddha, and of course this great statement, upon seeing the morning star, I, all beings, are the wisdom and virtue of the awakened one to thusness. I, all beings, the great earth. And I understand that Aishu brought up this because of our upside down views, we fail to see it. So all Buddha Tathagatas, all, you know, it's sometimes can be something of a barrier to leave these words in the realm of a different language, you know, or an exalted term. But by its nature, using a label like that might help strengthen some idea of separation. So we have the word Buddha, and perhaps we put the Buddha up here, and maybe the Dalai Lama's here, we'll take that on, maybe, you know, going back and forth. And then we're somewhere down here, or back there, wherever we place that. But this, the word Buddha, of course, you know, is awakened one. This is the endeavor of the way, the endeavor of Rohatsu, to be awakened, to be awake to who we are. You know, something brings us, we're brought to this practice, to this session. Perhaps there is some feeling of still being somewhat on the outside. You know, they say that there are, in the tradition, three pillars to Zen: great faith, great doubt, and great determination. Those three things are active in our practice of Sesshin. Great faith. Not faith in something. Faith in some structure or belief system. But faith. Great faith. Faith that if the Buddha, you know, if we take his words, I, all beings of great earth, are. If you really take that, see that, is to have faith. As Eugen brought up at the beginning, if he could do it, an ordinary person, then this one can do it. So, but do what? You know, maybe this is where it gets a little slippery. All Buddha Tathagatas, all awakened ones to thus. Are we not awake to thus? Is there a looking for something else? A great faith. What is it to have great faith? And so when we finished the Zazen period, I've been having my legs go to sleep more than ever. You know, it's like than when I started. Sometimes it's kind of hard to get up in time and for the kinhin. It's a bit wobbly. But, you know, the floor is here. And the Buddha hall is here. And the action of walking in kinhin is thus. And there is great faith. That is what is all that is required. That is the expression of this moment. Okay, now it's time for walking. And then faster walking, almost a little bit faster walking as it was. Great doubt. Again, Sesshin is really the time of deepening, to look deeper, to go beyond our preconceived notions. And, you know, if we have some ideas of attainment too, you know, to let go of those also. And to look for this, well, you don't have to look for doubt. To be still, to sit, is to allow what is there to come forward. If there is something to be looked at, if there is some feeling, and if there's some way in which we're holding ourselves and describing ourselves, even in a very subtle level, that will be exposed and become apparent with this practice of sitting. So it's very important to be still. I don't mean just rigidly not moving, although it's very helpful to be still in that way, but to be still inside. And then to look at this doubt. If this is so, if the Buddha is not a liar when he said that, then is that my experience? Or is there still some feeling of lack? Is there some dissatisfaction? Is there a feeling of being something still to be done? Something to be realized? Something a little off? If so, what is that? What is that? What is that feeling? To be that. Faith that this vehicle has worked for countless generations is an effective vehicle for awakening. To allow doubt to come forward. And then with great determination. The great determination is showing up over and over. You know, not settling for some understanding. some description, but the determination to go on with the endeavor until satisfaction is one's living experience and the erasure of doubt that there is something else that will come in, that will be better. All Buddha Tathagatas who directly transmit inconceivable Dharma and actualize perfect enlightenment have a wondrous way, unsurpassed and unconditioned. A wonderful way. Everyone has a wonderful way, this wonderful way, unsurpassed. What could possibly surpass this? Yet we play that game with the next part, the conditioned, as we compare this experience to another experience, either the prior, a prior experience perhaps, or an imagined experience, or a hopeful experience of something to become, something to come. Unsurpassed and unconditioned. But when you look, what can possibly surpass this expression? This morning after the, you know, because I go down after the first period and help get my son ready for school and breakfast for him and those kind of things. And very fortunate in that there's so many deer around. You know, there's tons of deer, more than I've ever seen. And it was like picture postcard perfect this morning with the buck with the big full antlers, you know, managed to make it through hunting season. Walking past, and about seven other deer, you know, all the mixed ages following the whole thing. Just walk past the kitchen window. I thought, Dylan, come quick. And he kind of look. And I thought, I'm going to get a photo of this. And I got my phone. And I went to take, and then it's going through the window, which I haven't washed in a considerable length of time, with a screen, which could also use some work. And then it's like the camera on the phone, and then you take the picture, and it's like, you know, that's crap. Not really worth putting on my Instagram, right? You know, we see something. To see something like that, and then quick, we get a photo. Fix it. So, you know, put that down. Look, enjoy, and then what is going on? The preparation of breakfast or whatever that is. This unsurpassed way. Unsurpassed and unconditioned. You know, the essential art of Zazen. You know, as we sit, then what is the content of this sitting? Often, you know, after a few days of session, and hopefully the kind of banal, surface, choppy thought about this and that begins to really settle down. You pass through that. But then there's maybe some deeper thought or pattern or things that are irking, that come up, that demand some attention. You know. So each of us has this conditioning. To be in form, to be a form, to exist, to live. You know, we accumulate this conditioning. But if we take this story, just the story of self, nothing wrong with it, but if we take it and then have that be, as it's commonly taken, you know, the only game in town, then we build more conditioning. You know, to be unsurpassed, to see this unsurpassed and unconditioned, it's not to reach in and meddle and add, as this is experienced in Zazen. You know, but rather, you like hear the siren's call of the thinking about some things which are just too attractive to pass up. there's really the time then with great determination is to double down. You know, to say, no, as the Buddha touched the ground, then we sit and touch this ground. And whatever comes forward, it's not a matter of content. With a straight back and open awareness, with attention, then we sit, unsurpassed and unconditioned, and really look at this experience. Look at this, you know, every word falls short, but look at our life, this. Self-fulfilling samadhi is its standard. Sitting upright, practicing Zen, is the authentic gate to the unconfined realm of this samadhi. So even here in the first paragraph, Master Dogen is very direct. The gate of the unconfined realm of this samadhi, this is it. You know, we raise our Zen up, not with an obsession with sitting meditation, because the vehicle, rather, of Zazen is where this truth is most apparent. In stillness, in silence. The opportunity to allow noise and complications and the endless churning of events of our life to really settle, to give then the opportunity to really to see what is at the base, what is most intrinsic. Although this inconceivable Dharma is abundant in each person, it is not actualized without practice. And it is not experienced without realization. Although it is abundant in each person, I, all beings, the great earth, it is not actualized without practice. This is why, you know, again, we practice, we come together, we have cushions and mats and ways of doing things in order to bring things together. Sitting upright, practicing. You know, if you gain nothing else from sitting here all week, know that you have supported everyone else. It supports me. Thank you. It supports everyone. To be together. It is a rare, and is it not a rare and valuable thing to have that, to have this opportunity? Yeah, it really is. The authentic gate. Yeah. Nothing constructed, no method required, no belief structure, nothing to sign up for. This is the front gate to the unconfined realm. To know freedom and satisfaction, to know it in your heart, in the bones, to be able to live, to relax in this skin. Yes, yes, this life, this one, not another one, this one. But it is not actualized without practice. So we practice, and not experienced without realization. I looked up earlier the word realization in the dictionary. It says, an act of becoming fully aware of something as a fact. Yeah. The realization of doing, of being, whatever it is that we are doing. Whatever is occurring. The act of becoming fully aware of that as a fact. The act of Zazen, of becoming fully aware of this self as a fact. An act of, an action, an actualization. It made me think of a conversation I had with ACT there, with John, who's talking about Daniel Day-Lewis being a great method actor. You know? The method act acting, of becoming fully aware of our life as it is, as a fact. This one. So really to be that, who we are, through and through. Not becoming someone else or something else. It then is experienced with realization. When you release it, it fills your hand. How could it be limited to one or many? When you speak it, it fills your mouth. When you release it, it fills your hand. You know, Zazen is that. You letting go. The letting go of the construction of this life. The shaping and the manipulation of experience. You let go, you really let go, and you are held. We are held. Held up by the earth, by this life. It fills your it fills the hands, everyone's hands. It's an extraordinary thing, isn't it? I mean, to have this gift, this life, which you see in all directions is so fleeting, you know, the truth of impermanence and change. He says here, the concentrated endeavor of the way I am speaking of allows all things to come forward in enlightenment and practice, all inclusiveness. Allows all things to come forth. With Zazen, perhaps our practices, breath, following, or counting, or if it is koan or shikantaza, or whatever that is. You know, to do that practice, to do that fully and all-inclusively, is to really allow oneself to practice. To not to cease from obscuring that or getting in one's own way. Yeah. So we sit, and though we might be counting breaths or following breaths or working on koan, everything else is going on at the same time. There is sight, there is sound, thought, feeling, sensation, all these kind of amazing myriad things going on. One period is Zazen. And it's not enough to just witness that. You know, I spoke with one of you, we were talking about this, just sitting where you sit, and okay, so I'm experiencing this, and I can see that, and okay, what's next? It's not a matter of just sitting and looking at things. And noticing, yeah, the self arranged and studying something. Now, Zazen really is the dissolving agent of a great clarifier, where you remove or you allow to drop off the you doing something. But with this experience, with this expression, to meet it directly is to dissolve. As Master Rinzai said about the sixth patriarch, where what was he doing all those years in the rice shed? What was he doing in that time? He said, or somebody asked that, and he said he was drowned in a deep spring. Zazen is that. You sit and be drowned in a deep spring. You know, go well beyond being the witness or doing a practice, and rather use the practice to be the gateway to go beyond method. Master Dogen, in this endeavor of the way, he says here, "I began to search for Dharma, visiting teachers at various places in our country. Then I met priest Myozen of Kenin Monastery, by whom I was trained for 9 years. Thus I learned a little about the teaching of the Rinzai school." 9 years. Doesn't mention where I finished koan study or did any of these, and I got, you know, I got a different colour rakusu. It's not, you know. It says, after those 9 years of earnest study, I learned a little bit. You know, which is amazing to compare it to the times we live in, where you can do a kind of a 6-week course and get a certificate and, you know, teach some Dharma. You know, I mean, after 9 years, a little bit. Close to death, Master Dogen said, "There are 10,000 things I haven't yet clarified about the Buddha Dharma, but I am satisfied to not have followed mistaken view." Yeah. to truly be in that place of inquiry. You know, that is beginner's mind. In the authentic tradition of our teaching, it is said that this directly transmitted, straightforward Buddha Dharma is the unsurpassable of the unsurpassable. From the first time you meet a master, without engaging in incense offering, bowing, chanting Buddha's name, repentance, or reading scriptures, you should just wholeheartedly sit and thus drop away body and mind. And this dropping away of body and mind, which he comes to us from Master Dogen's practice with his teacher, his memorial day today, Master Tendo Nyojo. We engage in all of these things. We offer incense, there's bowing, there's chanting. Not sure about the repentance. Reading scriptures, one could say I'm doing that now. Before doing all of that, you should wholeheartedly sit and drop away body and mind. That is first, this wholehearted sitting. That is what this session is, this place is. To offer the opportunity in a supported container in order to wholeheartedly sit and drop off body and mind, or body mind, say it in that way. Drop off construction about self and story and who and what I am, and rather wholeheartedly sit and realize this truth beyond a doubt. Not coming from somebody else, coming in from a teacher. A teacher is always pointing, turning one back. To look for yourself, to really to know it for oneself. It can't come from another. If that work is not done, then to do these other things, offering incense, bowing, chanting Buddha's name, it's a shame. You know, then we become maybe identified with Zen. It's a terrible fate. Something called Zen. And in this great freedom, there's nothing that's going to come in and save you from that. We could do that for 10,000 years. But if the work is done to study this one, to realize this one, then you enter into all of these things. It's not a problem. Time to offer incense. Now it's bowing. Now it's chanting a lineage. And now I'm in Starbucks. And the form is coffee and a breakfast sandwich. And it's not different. And there is freedom as you move through, or you are each of these things in expression. when even for a moment you express the Buddha's seal by sitting upright in samadhi, the whole phenomenal world becomes the Buddha's seal. The entire sky turns into enlightenment. Well, that sounds encouraging, right? Why not? Does it sound exotic and something that might be achieved in 5 or 10 years or 20 years or 30 years? Or is it so? When you really look, for a moment, you express the Buddha's seal. You express awakening, sitting upright in samadhi, sitting upright in the concentrated absorption of things as they are, this life as it is, without manipulation, this experience without picking and choosing. And perhaps then we really see, what is it I am looking for? Where are the problems, really? You know, you see that the only problems are the ones written between the ears, that we chew on like an old bone that has no marrow left in it, over and over on the cushion. You find where, as he says in another place, when you find where you are, practice occurs, actualizing the fundamental point of sitting, standing, talking, walking, everything in between. Is there faith in that? Is there faith as that? And if there is some work to do, there is some, you know, again, that doubt, then have it close. These sometimes feeling of negative things coming up, like doubt, are our greatest friends. Those are the things that really liberate. You know, being still, inside and out, anything that needs to be dealt with, let it experience that. Bring it forward. Bring it to the Dokusan room. Bring it out. If there is doubt, if there is something to be clarified, if you have a question, distill that into that question and resolve that question. Whatever the energy of that is occurring is the Dharma, is the exact energy that is needed to clarify. But we doubt, we call some energies good and some are bad and some are hindrances and some are more compelling and some are not. Now, it is all food for practice. It is all food for this exploration. At this time, all things realize correct awakening. You immediately leap beyond the boundary of awakening. At this moment, you turn the unsurpassably great Dharma wheel and expound the profound wisdom, ultimate and unconditioned. You leap beyond the boundary of awakening. Perhaps we see that it is not a matter of becoming awake. And then even worse, you know, to go out into the world and tell people we're awake. This profound wisdom, turning the Dharma wheel. You know, we don't go around telling people we're doing that. I wouldn't go down, you know, I mentioned Starbucks before. I'm turning the Dharma wheel. That would be awful. But you leap beyond these terms of awakening, delusion, Buddha, Dharma, emptiness, form. You know, these are expedients, skillful expedients in order to really to look, to use that, to see. And then as that is understood, We can be have a light touch and be free with these terms and to pick them up and use them at will. You know, but in the realm, in our life of ordinary, everyday being. Going to the job, coming home in the evening, turning the Dharma wheel. This does not appear, all this, however, does not appear within perception. It is unconstructedness in stillness, immediate realization. And for, I look back for when I first came here and I was taking, there'll be a Jukai ceremony this Sunday. And when I was taking Jukai, I like this word unconstructed. It's unconstructedness. It really spoke to me. It really speaks to me still. Unconstructedness and stillness. You know, to stop adding and stop taking things away. Particularly in this practice of Zazen. But be unconstructed. There is nothing that you can lose that you need. There is nothing that you can lose that you need. Allow all things to be as they are. Sit unconstructedly and use the energy that is there. Allow that to function. The skillful, the wisdom of one's own awareness, this great mystery. That no one understands. But each of us is. Allow it to function. I'll just... just want to end with... I was kindly given a book of poems the other day, and it, as sometimes happens with a book, you know, you just open it to a page and you're like, oh, right there. Regarded from one side, an entire range, from another, a single peak, far, near, high, low, all its parts different from the others. If the true face of Mount Lu cannot be known, it is because the one looking at it is standing in its midst. For Mount Lu, we could say, you know, Spitler Peak. We don't have to put it somewhere in China where this was written. From one side, an entire range. Another, a single peak. But if the true face cannot be known, it is because the one looking at it is standing in its midst. And thank you for listening. Please let's continue to do our very best with this this time that we have now. There is something to be... Well, I'll leave it at that. Please, let's do our best. Thank you.